Good morning. This is Kevin Woolley, Minister of Music at Mount Sylvan Baptist Church. We'd like to welcome you to our morning worship services with Pastor Bruce Rudd.
If you're able to stand for the reading of God's Word and listen to the words to this, I can't stress that enough. Sometimes in Scripture we read the words so often that we miss the meaning. We read it so much that when we read it with familiarity. We read it as, oh, I've read this before. And we're not listening to the one that spoke it. These words are life, and they're powerful. And the title of the message this morning is The Christmas Light. And I want to start in John chapter 1. And I want to start in verse 1 and read through verse 12. These first 12 verses cover a lot from the very beginning of creation to those who receive Jesus as Savior. In 12 verses. So here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things, now watch this, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. If you have life in Jesus today, then you have the light of Jesus in your heart. Look at verse 5. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. That word for comprehend is overcome it. Now read it again. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light, capital L, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, talking about John the Baptist, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. And he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. That's Israel. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right. He gave the right to become children of God to those who believe in his name. Now look at John chapter 3, and let's start in verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now watch this, verses 19 through 21. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. Thank you. You may be seated. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time of year, Christmas season. And Lord, we thank you for what it means that light came into a dark world. You came into this world to save, to give eternal life, to bring about a godly kingdom, a kingdom of righteousness in your Son, Jesus. And Father, today we bring you glory and honor and praise for what you've done for us. As this morning, Lord, we see truly the Christmas light, not only within our hearts, but Lord, within the gospel message and the multiple millions of lives that have been changed by everyone who comes to the light. Lord, do in our hearts what only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I don't know if y'all noticed yesterday, but yesterday, and I think it's significant, I don't know if they meant it to be, but on Christmas Day, the James Webb Telescope was launched. The James Webb Telescope is the new contemporary of the Hubble Telescope. It is believed that that telescope can see so far back that some scientists, from a secular viewpoint, from an unbiblical viewpoint, believe that that telescope can see all the way back from the very beginning effects of what they call the Big Bang. They have sent that telescope up, and it took 25 years to develop, design, and manufacture that telescope. They launched it yesterday morning, and it's on a destination of about 1,000,000 miles from Earth to its orbit. And they say it will see that they want it to see some light and some things that has never before been seen. And they're all excited because they believe that they can see how our universe was birthed. I was so excited when I heard that they sent that up yesterday on Christmas Day. And I thought, oh Lord, show them what you're like. Get that thing way up there and put it in a good spot and give it some good magnification. I don't know how a telescope works. Make that thing see so far into space that all they can see is your glory. The heavens declare the glory of God. The Bible says in the first verse of Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what the first thing he created is? The Bible says that he created light. He said, let there be light. And there was light. The Bible says he knows the name of every single star. Them stars, they believe that when the Big Bang hit this extreme expanse, and when this extreme expanse hit, and when it finally exploded, they believe that the galaxies that we see today were formed later from that Big Bang. I have news for you from the Scriptures that God created all of that by his spoken word. And I pray that telescope that was sent on Christmas morning reveals the God of glory, because that's what it'll do. Here's what they said, and then I'll move on. The Atlantic writes this. The mission, an international project led by NASA, is designed to look deep into the universe to reveal, watch this, to reveal the faint light of the first stars and galaxies, which help give rise to everything else. Now, we know better than that. But the Lord is showing his glory. And so I'm going to keep up with that telescope. I want to see some of the images that that thing's going to see. And I don't know how something 1,000,000 miles away can communicate with us to start with. I can't get my router to work from one end of the house to the other end of the house. I can walk in here with my cell phone. It don't even work. But they can send a telescope 1,000,000 miles away, and it'll send perfect images and talk to them. They can unfold that thing. They can do all kinds of things with that thing. I don't understand that, but God does. And so here's where we want to look today. We want to look at the Christmas star. And when we think about light, and we think about the star, and we think about Christmas and the Christmas light, and that star was supernatural. We looked at that with the Magi. But I want to show you, I want to unpack that light that is Jesus Christ and how that works. And the first thing we're going to see is this, that Jesus is the Christmas light of revelation. The Christmas light of revelation. The Bible says in Isaiah 9:2, the peoples who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of the shadow of death, upon them a light has shined. By the way, that Isaiah chapter 9 is a messianic chapter. We are more familiar with Isaiah 9:6, but Isaiah 9:2 pointing to Jesus. When Zacharias, if you remember Zacharias, John the Baptist's dad, when he didn't believe, he was made mute. And you can remember later when it was time to name him John. And everybody thought it would be named something else. But God said, name him John. The Gabriel angel said, you're to name him John. And so there's Zacharias. He's still mute. And so they asked Elizabeth, what's to be his name? And she said, his name is to be John. So they run over there to Zacharias, and they're arguing with Zacharias. Well, we can't name that guy John. Well, there's no John in your lineage. And he said, well, he couldn't say it. Give me a writing tablet. I don't know how he said it because he couldn't talk. But he got a writing tablet, and he wrote, his name is to be John. And then he was filled with the Spirit at that moment. And the Bible says that he began to speak. God gave him his tongue back, and he was able to speak. And it's interesting because he says, through the tender mercies of our God, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness, and the shadow of death to guide our feet into the way of peace. And you say, how would Zacharias know to say that? The Holy Spirit gave it to him. The same way he gave it to Simeon later. We'll see that in a moment. And the Holy Spirit gave him that understanding. And Zacharias is speaking about he is the day spring from on high that is coming. Jesus is coming. And that John the Baptist is his forerunner. He is that prophet to come and make the way straight for his Lord and his Savior, the light of the world. And so he says he is the one from Isaiah. And so you think about when Jesus came, you say we're living in a dark time. It was a dark time during the Roman era, the Roman Empire. We can't even imagine the evils and the atrocities that were being experienced in the time frame of which Jesus Christ came into this dark earth. At that time, there was about 100 million in the Roman Empire. And of that 100 million, about 60 million were slaves to Rome. And you say, are we living in a dark time? Were they living in a dark time? Yes, they were living in a dark time. And Jesus comes into the world during a time of darkness, during a time of hopelessness, during a time that even Israel wondered, had God remembered us? But yet when he shows up, they didn't recognize him. And he was rejected by his own. And so here he is, Jesus the light, and the Magi 600 miles or so away, all the way back in Persia, the Magi see the supernatural star, not just any star, not a star that you'll ever find with the James Webb telescope, not a star that the Hubble telescope can find. It cannot be found because it was a supernatural star, and it was a star that revealed the Lord Jesus Christ, the light of the world, to this planet. And so the Magi see that star, and Jesus comes at a dark time, and they head to Jerusalem, and then eventually the star reappears and leads them to Bethlehem, where the light of the world is laying in a manger. This Christmas we had our daughters, and of course Cameron was over there, our son-in-law, and our precious little grandbaby. And Cameron got me these work lights, and I'm into lights. I like flashlights, lights. I like magnetic lights. I like any kind of light. They're really handy when you need to see at night. And he got me some lights, LED lights or work lights. They're magnetic, no cords, nothing. And I mean, I was having fun with them. Went out in the garage, turned lights off in the garage, turned them on in the garage. I can see all over the garage. I'm going in all these dark places illuminating. So I get this box. I'm trying to find where to put them because I don't want nobody to take my work lights when they go home with their Christmas. And I find an empty box, and I stuff them down in that box, and I turn them on. One more time, make sure I hadn't run my new lights. And I mean that light just radiated out of the box. So I turn the light off in the kitchen. Teresa and all them are in the living room. I go through the house. I'm turning all the lights off. It's getting real dark, and I'm walking around with this box, letting the light shine up on the ceiling. And how pretty that is. And then I look back down and it hit me. That's what Jesus is. He is the gift of Christmas. He is the light of the world. And when I looked in that box and I saw that light radiating out of the top of that box, it reminded me that that's what God did for us. He sent his Son as a gift to every single human being that will ever walk this planet. And he says, open me up and receive me and I'll give you the right to become children of God. That's what Christmas is all about. And so Simeon, he was just and devout, and it was time for the purification of Jesus. And so Mary brings and Joseph bring Jesus to Jerusalem to fulfill that moment. And there's Simeon, a just and devout man, who had been waiting on the consolation of Israel. He had been watching for Christ. He had been reading the scriptures in the Old Testament. And this is what he says when he holds baby Jesus in his arms. He says, "A light to bring revelation to the Gentiles." That's what the Christmas light of Jesus Christ is. He is a revelation of light. Religion is a myth of, many religions are a myth of history. Many people say that Jesus is just a myth, that there's all kinds of ways to believe. Jesus is just somebody you believe in. Some people say, oh, it's just pie in the sky. Let me tell you, Jesus Christ is just the opposite. He is the absolute fact of history. That's why Christians have gone to their very death believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and not denying His name, because Jesus is no myth. He is a fact of history. And the Apostle John said that every star, everything that was made, if you can see it, and if it was created, and if it was made, it was not even made unless it was made through Him, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus is no myth. Jesus is a fact of history. He is the light of the world. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7, Simeon surely knew these verses, because he understood that Jesus was a light to bring revelation. When you see Jesus, you've seen the revelation of God. Isaiah 42, 6 and 7 says this, "I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness and will hold your hand. I will keep you and give you as a covenant to the people." Reminds you of Daniel 9. "As a light to the Gentiles." Later in Matthew chapter 22, Jesus is dealing with some Sadducees. Now, you know why they were Sadducees? Because they didn't believe in the resurrection. And he's dealing with these Sadducees, and they're trying to trip him up. And they're asking him all kinds of questions, and they're like, "We're going to trip you up, Jesus." And Jesus, in all of his wisdom, he eventually gets to a point, and he looks up at them, and he says, "What do you think of Christ?" What do you think of Christ? I like the King James Version. "What ye think of Christ? What do you think of me? What do you think about me?" Now, why would Jesus ask that question? Because Jesus knew that He was the light of the world. Jesus knew that He was the creator of the universe. Jesus knew that He had left heaven and came to earth on a mission trip to save. He wasn't down here on a tourism trip. He wasn't down here just to say, "I got to walk around on earth a little bit and see what earth is like, see what these human beings are like." That's not why He came to earth. He knew all about earth. He knew every detail about earth. He came into our darkness to be a light and to be a covenant and to give an ability for us to be redeemed and made right with God. And so Simeon recognized that. I love John chapter 1 again. Look at John chapter 1 verse 4 and 5 again. John doesn't mess around. In fact, the Bible says in the book of John, towards the end, that these things were written that you might believe in Him. John introduces Jesus as the Word in verse 1. He introduces Him as the Word. He introduces Him as with the Father in all of creation. By the time you get to verse 2, that nothing in verse 3 was made that was not made unless it was made through Him. Then we get to verse 4, and we find out that in Him, in Jesus, there's no other name given by which we must be saved. In Him was life. That's what John testified. He said, "I walked with this Jesus. I understood Him. I've seen Him. I've seen this Jesus. I've heard His words. I've seen His miracles. I've seen Him heal the blind and raise the dead." And he's saying, "I've learned something about this Jesus, that He is God, that He is Creator God. I've seen Him steal a storm." Can anybody in here steal a storm? If we could, we'd have stealed a bunch of them in the past, wouldn't we? I can remember one time when Caitlin was little and she was scared of storms, and it was really bad weather. And she came in the room during the night, and it was thundering and lightning, and she was scared. And Caitlin said, because I would always quote that verse that Jesus said, "Peace be still," and how the seas became calm. And Caitlin was saying, "Peace be still. Peace be still." But she wasn't God. She couldn't make that storm quit. All we could do is pray. But Jesus himself, he's not like us. He looks at a storm and he just says, "Peace, be still," and the storm ceases immediately. That's because he is God. And so verse 5 says, "And the light shines in the darkness." Now there's something important here, that Jesus came in a dark world. It's your second point, by the way, that Jesus, the Christmas light, is the light of the world. And he says, "And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it." You say, what did John mean right here? "And the darkness did not overcome it." When did the darkness try to overcome it? When Jesus came and when he was born, darkness tried to overcome him. Hate, sin, and evil, demons, and Satan tried to overcome the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, how did they try to do that? Satan, through Herod, tried to have all the babies killed going after Jesus. And I mean, it was so much lamentation for the suffering those parents were experiencing because of what Herod did. Darkness couldn't overcome it. Jesus still lives. The Bible says, "Out of Egypt I called my son," and there was Jesus, the light of the world, in Egypt of all places. Think about it. Of all places where Moses had delivered Israel, God's people. And there's Jesus, the light of the world, as a little baby in Egypt, finding rescue and safety from Herod and all of his evil. Darkness tried to overcome it when Jesus, they tried to take him to the edge of a cliff and push him off the cliff. And the Bible says, "And he went out through the midst of them." I don't know how he did it, but he did it. Maybe he made them all freeze in place, but they couldn't throw him over a cliff. Darkness tried to destroy Jesus by getting him stoned, but that didn't work either. Darkness tried to destroy Jesus, and then finally, at the cross, darkness thought it destroyed Jesus. At Calvary's cross, evil and darkness began to celebrate. "We put him on the cross," and they celebrated, "Crucify him, crucify him, crucify him." And they saw the light being extinguished. And for 3 days, evil rejoiced because darkness seemingly had won the battle over light. But something happened. On Easter Sunday morning, the tomb door came open, and our Savior, the light of the world, stepped out of darkness, out of that darkness, into the light that belonged to him. And from that day forward, light has been given to mankind. Darkness is still here in the world right now, but darkness cannot overcome it. That's why the Bible says in Matthew that the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. It can't happen. We have a promise in the Word of God. You go into the Soviet Union, you go into the Middle East, you go anywhere in this world, and you'll find a light in Jesus Christ. I remember when we were in the jungle one time in the Amazon, and it was my first trip down there. And whenever I was invited, I was told that they don't think that these tribes have ever been reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is so far down in there. And I mean, we were way, 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 hundreds of miles in the jungle. And we went to this tribe, and somebody in the tribe begins to just had a little rudimentary knowledge of who Jesus was. We discovered in that tribe there was several Christians in that tribe. They find out that in 1935, a missionary had made it that far down into the jungle. And that missionary had shared the cross with generations before them. And those generations before them had continued to explain who Jesus was. And there was a remnant, a handful in that village that understood that Jesus was the Savior of the world. You go anywhere in this world and you will discover that Jesus is alive and well, and darkness can't overcome it. But when Jesus comes back at the second coming, darkness is done with. When Jesus comes back, he says, "My turn, here comes the light." And let me tell you, when he comes back, he's coming back bright, bright as my LED work lights. He's coming back, and there's going to be so much light, and he ain't going to take nothing off nobody when he comes to earth. Let me tell you something, he comes back, and he's saying, "I'm dispelling darkness, and everybody who has ever received Him and has been born again are going to experience some of the greatest celebration you've ever seen when the Lord Jesus comes back as the light of the world and begins to dispel all the darkness on this planet. It's going to be powerful. When Teresa and I were in Mexico, it was around 2003 or 2004. We've been on some mission trips down there, and at the time, it was our church when I was pastoring in Mejia, partnered with a church in White House, and we're way down in Mexico. And so we're going to this orphanage, and our team leader says, we can't go to the orphanage. The door has been shut. I can't remember why, but we can't get into that orphanage. And then we find out about this jail that's down the road. Now, that was really encouraging. I'm thinking, oh, me, I've heard about these jails down here. And they said, now, here's the thing. When we go to this jail, we cannot be responsible for your safety. That's even more encouraging. You're going to be in the general population, and we can't be responsible for your safety. But we heard there were some medical needs in that jail. So we all looked at each other and said, well, God opened that door and He shut this door. Let's go. Let me tell you something. When you're in the will of God, you're in the safest place you can be. And so we went in there, and it was one of the safest places after a few minutes that I felt in my whole life, because God was there. And these people were rough looking, mean looking. I don't think I intimidated them one bit. And so the team leader comes up to me and says, if you'll set up some chairs, we're going to set up a medical station over here, and we're going to start treating some of the medical situations, and we want you to preach the gospel to them. I said, okay. So we set up some chairs in a semicircle, and about 16 of them, Teresa, wasn't it 16? 16. 16 of them came in and sat down in those chairs. And I didn't know what to do, and I prayed. I said, Lord, I had to speak through an interpreter, and I said, Lord, you know what these people need. I don't know their hearts. I just met them. And God said, John 3:16, that's why I put it in the Bible, so I could make it easy for you. So I began to tell them about how much God loves them and that God would save you right now, this moment, today, right where you sit. He'll change your life and He'll give you a new heart and write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life if you're willing to let Him. And begin to share the message of the cross. I was ready to get saved too. We could feel the work of the Holy Spirit in that room. And eventually I came to a point of invitation, and they're all receiving Christ. And they're not just lifting their hands to receive Christ. They're standing up to receive Jesus Christ. And there's tears coming down their faces. Every single one of them. And now we're all crying. And we're just rejoicing. And one of the prisoners, one of the inmates, begins to sing Amazing Grace in Spanish. I look over at the area where all the medical workers were at, tending to people, and I see one of the medical workers that's an American begin to sing Amazing Grace in English. Then before you know it, another one of the inmates is singing Amazing Grace in Spanish. Now everybody, the Americans in English, they in Spanish, at the same time in unison, were all singing Amazing Grace. Why? Because they let Jesus Christ, the revelation of God, into that prison, showed up, and He shined in their hearts. And that's what 2 Corinthians 4 teaches us. Let me read it to you, and then I'll close right here. Listen to what he says. He says, for it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. He's saying it's that same God back there in Genesis who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful what we have in Jesus? So you ask yourself, is there hope for this world today? There's a lot of hope, but it's only found in one. You say, well, I'm born again. I'm saved. Let me ask you this, are you living in response to that light? Are you walking in the light? Are you having fellowship with the darkness of this world that is attempting to overcome it? Are you saying, I'm going to stay in the light, and I'm going to fellowship in the light, and I'm going to worship the Lord Jesus? That's the kind of life that we're to live in Jesus Christ. Dedicated, devoted, sold out, believing and trusting the Lord.